The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is sold out. However, you can still add your name to a standby list. Just send an email to conference@issuesetc.org.
And when somebody says, I'm for religious freedom and what I mean by it is merely the right to worship, you know that what you have there is an enemy of religious freedom, not a friend of religious freedom.
The odd thing about this weird sort of secular religion of sexual progressivism is that the way you become righteous is by screaming in defense of some group that nobody else is defending.
Christians will do good. They will. They will do good works. Good works follow faith always.
Missouri dairy farmers love Issues Etc.
Of all the so-called new atheists, Christopher Hitchens was, to my mind, the most compelling. Not only was he a obviously intelligent man, and he was, for some reason, despite his atheism, he was also a very ardent conservative in so many ways, a political conservative, social conservative, if you will. He also, and this is what made him most compelling, he also approached Christianity, although he was an equal opportunity critic of all religions, he approached Christianity in a way that some of the new atheists just don't seem capable of. He actually went to the very heart of Christianity to mount his attack. His main attack on Christianity often had to do with the vicarious atonement, that one man, albeit that man being God as well, one man could die for the sins of an entire human race. And if for that reason alone, I think it's reason to think seriously about the thought and the life of Christopher Hitchens. A recent book does this. It's titled The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. The title itself, perhaps somewhat deceptive. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly is going to join us to talk about how the media has been covering this book about Christopher Hitchens, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. A little bit later, we'll get a Washington update with Tim Gagline, Vice President of External Relations for Focus on the Family. Then we'll do our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in 1 Kings 8, where the ark is brought into the temple, where Solomon blesses the Lord, and Solomon says his famous prayer of dedication for the temple. We'll find Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about media coverage of a recently released book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
There is a recent book that the media is covering about Christopher Hitchens. If the media is going to cover a book like this, what are the kind of basic journalistic steps that they need to take to do a good job?
Well, it's interesting because we can look to Christopher Hitchens for guidance on that. If you follow Hitchens' career, there is nothing in the world that Hitchens held in more disdain than a news organization that tried to write about his work without reading his books. So if you follow Hitchens, Hitchens is constantly basically just in effect, you know, in that gravelly British Richard Burton baritone of his, kind of doing that death stare over his glasses at people and saying, "Have you read my book?" Well, to some degree, that's what's going on right now with this book about Hitchens. If you look at the comments pages, if you look at Amazon.com, and even if you look at some of the press coverage, it's pretty apparent that people are arguing about this book without any idea what the book actually says, which is a basic problem in journalism. I guess the moment that kind of signaled the beginning of the deluge was a religion news service tweet that went out that said, a controversial new book claims a dying Christopher Hitchens accepted God. Now, to their credit, Religion News Service withdrew that tweet, corrected it, and put out another item that said, you know, something to the effect of he contemplated Christianity or he investigated Christianity or something like that. But, of course, it doesn't say he remained an atheist. It doesn't say what the book said. The other thing, though, is if you call up that Religion News Service tweet, even the corrected one, and you look at the comments all say, the book is lying, the book is lying, the book is lying, the book is lying, when they're not even accurate about what the book has claimed. Does that make sense? I mean, so we have a basic journalism problem here in that people claim to be writing about this book by Larry Taunton when they're not accurately representing what the book says or doesn't say. Fascinating case.
What does it and what doesn't it say?
Okay. First of all, the book does say in one of its final chapters, who is to know? It's impossible to know what goes on between an individual mind and soul and God in the final moments of their life. Okay? How would you know? Oh, right? I think that's just a point of logic. But then it says, however, there is no evidence whatsoever that Christopher Hitchens renounced his atheism or converted to Christianity or any other faith. And it says that very clearly and proceeds to roll out the evidence that he didn't. So it's pretty hard to say that the book in any way supported a kind of deathbed scenario, conversion situation, except that it says, you know, nobody ultimately knows but God, but here is the evidence on this side of the veil. Here is what we know based on Hitchens' own words. Now, the other thing, the accuracy of whether Hitchens took seriously some of the claims of Christianity, that gets into a much more complicated situation. What you can certainly say is Hitchens befriended several crucial Christians who entered his life in the years after 9/11. It's also fascinating that, you know, that for his actual medical care, he turned to an outspoken Christian to help guide his cancer therapy. He clearly had a relationship with many Christians in which he just attacked them viciously, yet he had relationships with other Christians in which he did not. He constantly did professional work with them. He spent personal time with them. He stayed in, you know, in Larry Taunton's home, got to know his family. I don't think anybody is arguing that these unusual road trips that Hitchens took with Larry Taunton, which play a major role in the book, I don't think anybody's claiming that they didn't happen, in large part because there are videotapes from these trips. There are, I mean, not videotape, there's digital recordings of some of these things. And Hitchens is doing this while he is in the midst of this life-and-death struggle with esophageal cancer. I mean, the man knew the odds were 99-1, that his time was very short, yet he continued to honor his commitments with these Christians and spend extra time with them. From a factual perspective, it certainly looks like these friendships were real and that the questions he was asking them and they were asking him were sincere. I ended my column this week in the Universal Syndicate, I ended my column with what I thought was one of the most fascinating personal exchanges that we have on tape, which is Hitchens was involved in a debate with another thinker and Larry Taunton, who had set the debate up, was serving as moderator. Well, from the book's perspective, Hitchens was really beating up the other debater, and Hitchens was a devastatingly effective Oxford-trained debater. And he was perfectly capable and willing of destroying a person under those sorts of situations. So at one point, Christopher Hitchens, starts trying to debate the moderator. And Larry Taunton kind of refuses to go there. That's not his role. So at one point, though, he finally, in his summary statement as moderator, says Hitchens is accurate when he says that if it somehow was proven that Jesus was a figment of my imagination, I would be devastated, and that basically my life would be ruined because it would mean that all of life is meaningless. At which point Hitchens turns to Taunton and says, "Don't give up so easily." An interesting comment. I mean, Hitchens is in effect saying, go on, make your case. Well, weeks later, this is where my column ends. Weeks later, Taunton and Hitchens actually did debate each other on a head-on debate about God and the nature of religious faith and the importance of religious faith. And in the midst of that, they get down to a pretty brass tacks debate about the nature of evil and the fact that Hitchens had become convinced that humanity is essentially evil, that man is essentially evil, and that certainly there are forms of religious tyranny that are outright evil. At which point, Taunton logically says, "Well, how can you say that if you're an atheist and there's no grounds on which to say that something is absolutely transcendently good or evil?" So, needless to say, that's an interesting point. Taunton then goes on to say that during their road trip through the Shenandoah Valley, Hitchens they were in like a fast food store or a 7-Eleven or something on the highway getting gas, and Hitchens saw a product called No Tar. You put these things on the end of your cigarette and you don't get nicotine and tar. And here is a man who's dying of cancer, who's a lifetime chain smoker, kind of deadpan quips, "If only I had known." So in the debate, Taunton says, I in effect worry as a friend that Christopher, when entering the next life, will be stuck in the position where he has to say, "If only I had known." And then Taunton turns to Hitchens and says, "Don't give up quite so easily." And Hitchens, on the videotape, Hitchens kind of smiles, wryly looks down and says, "Touche." Well, I mean, that doesn't look to me like the men don't have some kind of relationship and past history with each other in terms of how these subjects are discussed. And watch the videotape.
Kind of raises a question. When the media covers these things, they tend to cover all religious issues, including atheism, which is a religious issue, with a kind of ham-fisted way. Do they fail to detect or even be interested in the nuances that sometimes exist in the beliefs of atheists?
Well, yeah, that's a great point. And the title of the book, which I have sitting right over here, hang on, let me make sure I get the title right. The title is The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, The Restless Soul of the World's Most Notorious Atheist. And the word faith in that title has caused a lot of controversy. And his whole point is that the word faith doesn't just refer to religion or God, that it's hard to live life without faith in something. And thus, the whole purpose of the book, in Taunton's case, is to say, what was the faith that Hitchens relied on? Was it patriotism? Was it kind of an inherent love of justice? Was it Hitchens' incredible loyalty to his friends? In other words, what was it? The way Taunton says it over and over, and I quote it in my column, but it's in almost every other interview by the man. He says, if you're trying to get inside the black box for Christopher Hitchens, the atheist key just doesn't open it. Now, it's important to continue, and he says, the God key doesn't open it either. Something else is at the heart of who Christopher Hitchens is and why he was the complex individual that he was. But once again, if you haven't read the book, how would you know any of that? We could be dealing with the fact that Hitchens is a controversial character. He's colorful, he's brilliant, he's famous. And who has time to read a book in the 24/7 era of news where, you know, your editor wants a story in an hour? Who has time, if the goal is to do nothing but get clicks on the internet, who has time to actually take a nuanced thought out, carefully written book. Who has time to take that seriously? I mean, let's just slam this guy and move on.
Do you know, has Hitchens' brother, Peter Hitchens, who is a convert to Christianity, has he had anything to say about the book?
Well, Hitchens is interviewed in the book. And I know because I asked that question that when I interviewed Taunton, that there have been contacts, but he doesn't feel at liberty at this point to talk about that. He at one point says that if Christopher Hitchens had ever converted to Christianity, Taunton says that his guess is that his faith would in many ways resemble that of his brother, someone who's hard to pin an evangelical label on. His faith is more complex than that. And he went from being an outright political liberal to being in some ways a conservative, although it's interesting to note that one of the most public clashes between the two brothers was an article that Peter Hitchens wrote, essentially arguing that Christopher Hitchens had gone too far to the right politically and had gone politically right on the Iraq War in ways that weren't logical with the rest of his belief systems. So both of these are very complex guys, but maybe at some point Peter will address the contents of the book other than in private communications, but I don't think that has happened yet.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a recently released book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. We'll be right back.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit ClassicalSpecialNeeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a recently released book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens. Terry, one of the things I've noticed in observing Hitchens over the years is that not only was he, as you say, a very intelligent guy, he was an equal opportunity critic of all the monotheisms, all religions, really, in a lot of ways. But when he criticized Christianity, he really did go to the heart of it, to the doctrine of the atonement, saying that it simply was immoral to assert that one man, albeit God, could die for the sins of the entire human race. This tells me, Terry, that Hitchens was dealing with something that he understood but didn't believe.
Yeah, Hitchens makes it clear that when he was in school, he was forced to actually learn Anglican theology. And Taunton says that Hitchens' theological knowledge is actually not bad. It had never really been explored all that much. I think it's important to stress that the best evidence is that Hitchens fiercely hated institutional forms of religion, but he had a lot of trouble condemning faith when he met it in individual people. Do you get my distinctions?
Yes.
So thus you have his incredible, virulent hatred of militant forms of Islam. And frankly, after 9/11, which is a pivotal event in Hitchens' life, and you know, he becomes an American citizen, he becomes a patriot. He also, after 9/11, issues this challenge that he'll take on anybody who wants to debate him about religion. Of course, he also has a book to promote out at that time, the God Is Not Great book. Yet what's fascinating is Muslims, who he thought would be the people that wanted to debate him, Muslims weren't interested in debating this man. Instead, Hitchens, who had issued to an I'll debate anybody pronouncement, Hitchens ends up being approached over and over by evangelical Protestants and by faithful Christians. And in talking to them, he debated liberal Christians, conservative Christians, frankly, unorthodox Christians. Al Sharpton at one point, he shreds Al Sharpton in a debate. He ends up interviewing and debating a whole lot of different Christians and concludes they are not the same. That if he's going to understand what Christians believe, he's going to have to actually stop and listen and try to determine why some Christians offend him on the personal level so much more than others. And thus he has to begin taking some elements of Christianity seriously that he had not before. The book, the most fascinating image in the book, of course, is Taunton at the wheel of a car driving 700 and something miles to another debate on a road trip that Hitchens had been promising him they would take together at some point. And Hitchens is 5 months into chemotherapy. He's wiped out, but here they are rolling down I-81 in the Shenandoah Valley and doing what they had agreed they would do. Hitchens is reading the Gospel of John out loud. And after every couple of verses, they stop and discuss the content of those verses. Now, what would you give for a tape of that discussion? But Hitchens discovers that in addition to the fact that he's very fond of the story of the wedding at Cana with turning water into wine, which you would expect Hitchens to like, that there are other parts of the book that he finds intriguing and other parts he outright rejects. But just imagine that discussion. That's not the picture of Christopher Hitchens that you have in your mind, as a rule. Taunton even dared him to go into a studio and record the Gospel of John to sell as a product on iTunes. More than a novelty item, he said Hitchens did a devastatingly effective job of reading this material. In fact, there were sections of the Gospel of John that Hitchens could quote by memory from the King James Version without even looking at a text. He had read them so many times.
Does the book explore why he was reserved so much approbation for institutional religion?
Well, I mean, his hatred of Catholicism is easy to prove. I found it interesting that he also was fiercely opposed to any form of orthodoxy, either Russian, Greek, or whatever, because he saw that once again as a combining of religion and the power of the state. So I think to some degree, his radical anti-authoritarian bent attached itself to institutional forms of religion and made them. In effect, based on other things he said, he didn't think people really believed that stuff. They were just using religion as a form of power and control. And thus, you can imagine then his reaction to the actual kind of fusion of mosque and state that you find in the radicalized forms of jihad. You can imagine Hitchens' reaction to Sharia law, right?
He was also deeply moral atheist, and that moral sense was part of his critique of religion. Talk about that.
Well, his moral sense of certain topics. At the same time, like any man, he had a lot of wild behavior and things, you know, in his past. And so to some degree, Hitchens never denied that he tended to be kind of inconsistent about some things. He could be incredibly judgmental of other people and of other behaviors, and then when asked to kind of evaluate some aspects of his own personal life, you know, he would refuse to go there. But quite frankly, what human being do you know that doesn't struggle with talking about their own personal sins, especially if they don't believe in sin? So I think it's kind of hard to hold Hitchens up in too judgmental a fashion, you know, on that topic. But this issue of the source of his fierce commitment to certain things related to justice and world peace and patriotism and war and peace and things like that, you could understand that when pressed on that, he could be prickly on the fact that he couldn't really explain a foundation reason to believe those things were true. In other words, he was fiercely clinging to some form of moral law, yet very uncomfortable discussing the origins of such a law. Does that make sense? He totally trashed, for example, Dr. Singer on issues involving abortion, and that there was essentially no difference at all between a human being and, as Hitchens put it, I have to see a difference between a baby and a piglet. Well, why? If you're a pure atheist and there are no standards outside of materialism, what's the difference between a baby and a piglet?
Finally then, Terry, I guess kind of a two-part question. You mentioned before the title of the book, The Faith of Christopher Hitchens, The Restless Soul of the World's Most Notorious Atheist, says two things about him. Is the book mistitled? And if you were going to send a Cub reporter out to cover the book, what would you tell them to avoid?
That's an interesting question, because the title makes no sense whatsoever unless you've read the book. So someone walking past this book on a shelf looks at that title and immediately jumps to the conclusion the book claims some sort of deathbed conversion. But Taunton, as a logical man and as a Christian apologist, the title is attacking this belief that only religious believers have faith. I was reminded of a scene in one of the Woody Allen movies, I think it's Hannah and Her Sisters, where Woody Allen's character briefly converts to Catholicism. And he basically is saying, you know, that, hey, atheists have faith too. That showed up again in the sitcom or the dramatic comedy you may remember called Northern Exposure, where the Jewish character at one point is talking to an atheist and says, I've always admired atheists. I think it takes a lot of faith. Well, ultimately, that's why the word faith is in the title of this book. But unless you're a journalist who commits themselves to reading interviews with this person, to watching some of the things that are available easily on YouTube or elsewhere on the web, or even, heaven forbid, reading the book, how would you know what the author means with that title? So yeah, it's a tricky title, but it's not tricky in the context of the book.
Is part of the problem, Terry, that in media covering this, is that in their way of thinking, Christians and atheists, especially acerbic atheists like Christopher Hitchens, aren't supposed to kind of have the kind of relationship that Hitchens had with the author?
It's fascinating in the sense that in a way, they're saying tolerance is impossible. They're also saying that you can't truly be friends with someone who disagrees with you on these types of issues. I think if you press further than that, Hitchens, in effect, as one of the four horsemen of the modern atheist world, that title, you know, that's been used often for Dawkins and the others, I think Hitchens had become a kind of secular atheistic saint to many people. And the whole idea that he could, in addition to ripping believers apart, that he could actually find friendship and intellectual content through relationships with some religious believers, doesn't that imply that might even be something that other atheists and maybe even some journalists might attempt? Something to think about.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to get a Washington update with Tim Gagelein. We're going to talk with him about the Supreme Court minus Justice Scalia, some of the issues that are not getting covered, not really getting noticed in this dust-up of a presidential race. We'll talk about the anti-establishment movement and how it plays in Washington, D.C. Tim Gagelein, Vice President for External Relations for Focus on the Family, will be our guest on the other side of the break.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
At Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, we are mostly looked down upon by cool people. They're always telling us that we take ourselves too seriously. That, apparently, is the uncoolest thing on the planet. We are theological nerds. We get more incensed by bad exegesis than a group of comic book fans who find out the hero was just dreaming. Some people want us to calm down, but we aren't going to. Redeemer, Fort Wayne, haven for theological nerds.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.